excited.
We're so pumped at the same time.
We're so pumped.
We're pumped, guys. We're pumped. Welcome to the Mother Days, you guys out there listening in the world. I'm Teresa Palmer.
And I am Sarah Wright Olson. Hi, daisies. We're so excited to have you guys here today. We have such an amazing guest with us. I am like kind of, you know, fangirling out and over the moon for our guest today. She's, I think, like the angel of Hollywood, like maybe the sweetest, kindest, most wonderful human that exists. And we all know her from so many things. I mean, she's a musician, she's an actor, she's a mother. She did a movie called A Walk to Remember that made me sob my eyes out. Like, I cried way too hard at that film. Oh my God. And my children and I sing her songs every weekend when they watch her movie Tangled. And she's also was in the critically acclaimed show This Is Us. Everybody, it's Mandy Moore. Welcome to the show.
Hi, ladies. How are you?
Hi.
So good.
How are you?
Thanks for joining us.
Man, what an intro. Thank you for having me.
I really like to do those intros up.
I'm just going to call in, but I'm having a bad day.
We always see the guests being like, oh my God, I'm embarrassed. Yeah, she's, you're all love, Sarah. But it's all so true. And A Walk to Remember made me become so obsessed with Nicholas Sparks. I like read all his books and then manifested doing a Nicholas Sparks movie. So like years after you did A Walk to Remember, I did a Nicholas Sparks movie called The Choice. And it's so, the fan base, Nicholas Sparks' fan base is unbelievable, isn't it? I'm sure you still get stopped for that movie.
They're rabid.
Yeah.
I mean, he just like was able to tap into something in the zeitgeist that like really resonated with people. And I think specifically like with A Walk to Remember, I think it hit at a time with young people. It just universally, I guess that story still resonates with like the next generation and the next generation and the next generation. You know, good girl meets bad boy, helps reform him and sees the best in him and helps him be the best version of himself. Like, people love celebrating that kind of story. So yeah, it's wild. People love his stories and his movies. And I totally get the appeal.
Sobbed my eyes out. Couldn't breathe. Crying so hard. Too hard.
I cried every one of his films. Everyone. There's just, he's like figured out the method.
It really does something to you.
Do you know how much cashback you're leaving on the table settling for the wrong credit card? Imagine earning up to 5% cashback on your groceries for the next 30 years. Think of all that cashback on those overpriced kombuchas. NerdWallet helps everyone make smarter financial decisions today that future you will thank you for. With NerdWallet, you won't regret missing out on rewards. NerdWallet lets you compare smart cashback credit cards side by side to make the most of your everyday spending. So what could future you do with more cashback? Splurge on some fancy champagne with the gals, or order fine dining to the house and watch a good true crime doco. Whatever it is, make it happen with a smarter cashback credit card. Don't wait to make smart financial decisions. Compare and find smarter credit cards, savings accounts, and more today at nerdwallet.com. NerdWallet. Finance smarter. As with all cards, credit is subject to lender approval and terms apply.
You know, some people enjoy composing their own music, chord by chord, and others are happiest when they come across that one perfect song. Work is not a lot different than that. Whether you prefer building your own workflow or using a pre-made template, with Monday.com, you and the team can work in a way that's comfortable for everyone. Tap the banner to go to Monday.com and build your own amazing workflow or find an awesome template. No judgment.
Well, we're so happy that you joined us today. My husband, talked about you. I don't know how many years ago it was that you guys did that movie together in some magical paradise that you guys shot in. License to Wed, that was the name of it, right?
It was, yeah. It was literally, I think we're coming up to like 2006 is when we made that film. So we're like coming up to the 20 year anniversary of that, which is mind blowing.
That is, you know, because that's a long time. And he and I had only just started dating. So like we've been together for, I guess, 19 years. So so yeah, that's a long time ago.
I remember him talking about you though.
Oh, you do?
What? Oh yeah,
that's just really like, cute.
I believe you guys were in like the first stages of like really falling for each other. And I just remember him like, he was enraptured with like this idea of you and possibility of what you guys were going to be. And I just remember like, I remember you guys were at that point. I remember like just crazy antics, like swimming in the ocean at night in Jamaica where we were filming, and we all had so much fun working together. But yeah, I do remember him specifically. You guys had just started dating and him just like speaking so highly of you.
Oh my gosh. I mean, that's just the cutest thing ever.
And all these years and babies later, it proves to be true.
Oh my gosh. That's so cute. I mean, that's he talked so highly of you too. He was like, you guys would get along so well. He's like, she's so wonderful. Like, you know, he had nothing but amazing things to say about you. So anyway, I'm just like so glad that you came on today.
You guys were so kind to ask me to be on a while ago. And I was like, I don't know what to talk about. Like, I feel so unqualified even as, especially as a mom. I'm like, I hope they don't ask for my advice. I'm flying by the seat of my pants. I know absolutely nothing. I listen to podcasts like yours in order to garner more information and try to be the best parent that I can be. But yeah, so I'm always nervous in this like context to speak about life because I really don't know what I'm doing.
Oh, none of us
you're
do.
Amazing.
That's the thing.
Honestly, you are killing it. And I have to say that your podcast that you did with Dr. Berlin was so beautiful.
Oh, thanks.
It was so raw and you were so open and candid. And for people who haven't listened, you should check it out. It's Dr. Berlin's podcast where he interviews people sort of as they're about to give birth, and then he does a follow-up interview after they've given birth. And Mandy's interview about that first birth experience. I was holding on to my seat. I remember just holding on to being like, oh, I'm back there. I remember all these feelings. And birth is so wild. And the way you broke it down so eloquently, I was like, I hope everyone listens to this episode because you got through it.
Teresa.
And I remember messaging you afterwards and being like, wow, like that was incredible. And don't worry, like the second birth, it does get easier. And so I'm so curious.
You're so right. It was. And it's so funny. I feel like I have to go back and listen to that podcast because it is such a little time capsule. And I'm sure I was like this raw little like baby chicken in the world. Like, I can't believe what I just did. And you're so vulnerable. But I'm so glad that I have that, like, just that. The aftermath of that crazy experience where you're just cracked so wide open in a way that like nothing else will ever touch. And I didn't do a follow-up, although he asked for my second child. I was like, I think I'll keep this one for me. But what I did learn was like, right after I gave birth, I sat and recorded a conversation with my husband and I, just talking about the experience of like, and then this is when I felt labor start, and this is what I was feeling, and this is what we were doing. And then this is when our doula came, and this is just because I felt it so important, because now I've completely forgotten like most of those details. It's all fuzzy. Yes. I can remember parts of it, but it's like, we only have the bandwidth to remember so much, and life moves on, and we're keeping track of this milestone and that milestone. And so I'm glad that I have that other little time capsule of like, you know, a 45 minute conversation between us where I talked about all of the feelings and the emotions and in the immediate aftermath too, because I felt like I had that with Gus, with my first little guy. And I was like, I want to preserve this little moment with Ozzy as well, but it's a wild ride.
Was it? So it was a different birth than your first birth experience. And it was maybe shorter and like easier than the first. Is that what you mean? Okay.
Yes. So much easier, so much shorter.
I'm so glad.
I know.
Oh my God. Me too. Well, I was like, I can't do that again.
And I guilty. I was like, oh no, I've now promised her. I was like, oh, why did I say that? Like, maybe it won't be easier. I'm so relieved to hear. I was like,
no, you're clearly the ultimate manifester, because you manifested this like very easy second birth for me, so much so that like he came out and I was like, I want to do that again.
Yeah.
It was like the craziest adrenaline high of like, what? I felt like he came out and I immediately felt so, like right back to myself again. Like,
oh my God.
Like elated, and the oxytocin and all of that probably was what I was feeling. But I just felt so in my body and aware of the moment. It was just weird. I was so like, whoa, I did that. And here he is and he's healthy and I'm so grateful and we're so lucky. But like, it was weird. It was like, I just went from like primal to back to myself again instantaneously. And I was like, I gotta do that again. That is the craziest feeling of all time.
That's why Teresa and I don't ever want to stop. We're just like, we're just like, let's keep going. Let's just do
it. If I were younger, absolutely. I could absolutely see the appeal of having many, many, many children.
All right, guys, we are a couple of tired mamas and all we do is crave a spa day, and we deserve it. We always end up putting ourselves down the very bottom of our to-do list. We jump from one activity to the next, and we're always meeting the needs of everyone else around us. I think it is time for a little self-pampering. This Mother's Day, make every day a spa day for all the moms in your life with Osea's Mega Moisture Duo. It's a value pack of two luxurious body care moisturizers, Undaria Algae Body Oil and Undaria Collagen Body Lotion, both featuring Osea's signature, uplifting, all-natural, citrusy scent.
I think the greatest and most thoughtful gifts are the gifts that you actually like love yourself, something that you use on yourself. And I love using the Mega Moisture Duo. It makes my skin so glowy. It's like super hydrating, firming, smells amazing. When I give my kids a hug after a bath, they're like, oh, you smell so good. It is my absolute favorite gift and such a great gift for Mother's Day.
Yes. Folding in self-care is a moment to practice mindfulness. It's self-love. It's compassion. And we all know if you run your battery flat, it's harder to recharge. A consistent body care routine promotes healthy, glowing skin and also supports your mental health.
Treat mom to the everyday spa experience she deserves with clean, vegan skin and body care from Osea. Get 10% off your first order site-wide with code MOTHERDAYS at OseaMalibu.com. You'll get free samples with every order and free shipping on orders over $60. Head to OseaMalibu.com and use code MOTHERDAYS for 10% off.
All right. As you guys know, we are busy mums. We are dog mums, business mums, performance mums, school board mums. Life gets hectic. That's why we rely on our tried and tested go-tos to alleviate some of the chaos. NerdWallet helps you by maximizing your everyday spending, whether it's groceries for the week, drinks with friends, or a nice family meal.
Do you know how much cash back you're leaving on the table settling for the wrong credit card? Imagine earning up to 5% cash back on your groceries for the next 30 years. I mean, come on, guys. Think of all the cash back that you're going to get on those kombuchas, on those frozen pizzas. NerdWallet helps everyone make smarter financial decisions today that future you will thank you for.
With NerdWallet, you won't regret missing out on rewards. NerdWallet lets you compare smart cashback credit cards side by side to make the most of your everyday spending. So what could future you do with more cashback? A silent meditation retreat in Peru, a sweat lodge in India, whatever it is, make it happen with a smarter cashback credit card.
Don't wait to make smart financial decisions. Compare and find smarter credit cards, savings accounts, and more today at nerdwallet.com. NerdWallet, finance smarter. As with all credit cards, credit is subject to lender approval and terms apply.
Oh, wait, that's right. You're going to be, this is your 40th year. Is that right?
Yes.
You're coming to the fourth floor. I just arrived at the fourth floor last year.
Congratulations.
And thank you. And then I just read that you're coming up on your fourth floor visit. And I got to say, it's really nice up here.
Oh, good. I gotta say, I love the fourth floor analogy. I'm definitely taking that and owning that.
Yes,
I think it's fantastic.
Someone said that to me. Someone was like, welcome to the fourth floor. And I was like, oh my gosh, I love that. Like, it just didn't feel very high up at all when she said that.
Yeah.
It's really not in the scheme of things. It's not.
No.
Which is amazing.
Oh, Mandy, do you sometimes look back on your life? And I mean, I was introduced to you when you were a baby. I don't know how old you were, but Candy, I remember seeing this like young, gorgeous girl singing this song, Candy. And I was like, it was like I was in my pop star era. I had you on my walls. It was like I had to Christina Aguilera, next to all these like the Spice Girls. And I was just so about it. And that song was, you know, such a big song for me. And then to see you like have this big, beautiful, bright life with all these different areas that you're exploring, and you're acting as well as singing. And then you have such a rich family life, and you're this beautiful mother. And everyone I've spoken to just says she's the kindest, warmest, most grounded person. And I want to just ask, like, if you look back on your life now, are there moments where you just can't believe it? Was it intentional? Do you think you planted the seeds and you manifested this life for you? I know it hasn't always been easy, but what's your reflections on your experiences?
Well, thank you for everything you just said. I'm incredibly touched. Like, that to me is the ultimate idea of what I would dream a legacy to be, just for people to be like, she's nice.
Yeah,
I'm somehow still doing this after however many years. I started when I was 15. So I was 15 when that song Candy came out.
Oh my
and
God.
I'm almost to my, I've almost reached the fourth floor. So I've been doing this for a hot minute. It does feel strange to look back, like, at the different seasons and chapters of life. And I mean, I don't know if I manifested it as you, the ultimate manifester, can and do, but I feel this immense gratitude that, you know, 25 years later, I'm still able to do this and do it on my own terms and to have such a full life in every respect, in parenthood and partnership and creatively. And I feel like I've checked so many boxes that I never really even like thought about, but I guess there was intention put behind it. I don't know. It's strange. It feels like so much of that, like early pop star, I'll walk to remember Princess Diaries. It was so long ago that it feels like it happened to someone else entirely. And I look back now with a lot of affection and fondness and appreciation, even though some parts of that, I think for a long time, I often would like apologize for or cringe at, because like, who doesn't look back at themselves when they were teenagers and sort of roll their eyes at some of the choices they made? I just managed to do it like in a more public sense. But I have like appreciation now. I think sort of the wisdom and clarity that's come with age, I can like reflect back on that time really fondly and go like, oh man, you didn't always know what you were doing, but you really tried your best and managed to have like a good head on my shoulders because of my parents. And I think that's why I'm still here today and why we're able to have this conversation. Cause like,
yeah,
I had that good solid foundation and I know that's not the case for everybody.
For everyone.
So I lucked out in that regard.
Where did you grow up? Where are you from?
I grew up in Orlando, which is the most random. Oh, yes, I know. My parents are both.
She's apologizing.
I do apologize for that because Florida is just strange.
It's a hard place.
It's a tough place. I have no connection there, but both my parents were like born and raised natives, were there when there were like orange groves pre-Disney. So like they tried and true. I have no connection there. I had a very like idyllic, normal, suburban childhood. I had no like Mickey Mouse Club connection, like none of that stuff. I randomly just truly happened to be from like the suburbs of Orlando and strange.
Wow. Oh my gosh. That is hysterical. I had no idea you were from Florida. I'm from Kentucky, so I'm from the South. So it's like a whole, you know, it's a whole other place, like a whole other world, really. Like beautiful, amazing childhood that feels small and, you know, lovely and protected in so many ways. And then in other ways, like, it's just bizarre. Sure. Like the world outside of that bubble was like so terrifying. It's a totally different world. Well, I wanted to ask you because, you know, I know that you publicly talked about, you know, a past relationship and then you found this amazing job and you have this partner. I don't know the timeline of any of this stuff, but like, you know, this amazing partner and then you have your babies. By the way, your wedding dress, that pink wedding dress was like the crazy. Was that like a Rodarte?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. That was like the most gorgeous wedding dress I've ever seen. I was like, that's my dream dress. I can go back to my J. Crew dress and maybe switch it out with that one. That would be really great.
I'm sure that J. Crew's dress was gorgeous.
It was cute. Yes,
you look beautiful.
It was classic. But, you know, like looking back at that time of your life, which is, you know, I think I was reading this article where you were talking about how you had this like lull in your career and just this time period. And then you like, This Is Us was like this sort of like, I don't know what you want to call it, but it was just like kind of catapulted you into this new light again. And I remember reading that script. That was like one of the best scripts I'd ever read for television. Like it absolutely made me sob. I was sitting at a restaurant in Beverly Hills and I remember sitting there finishing it and I was like fully crying. And I was like, this is the most beautiful script. And then I heard that you got this part in it. And I was like, oh my gosh, she's perfect. Like in every way for this role. And it was just such a cool thing to hear. But like, you know, when you found your way into this and then your partner and your, you know, children and everything, like, can you talk a little bit about that, you know, meeting your partner and then this job and all those things?
Yeah, I think, you know, my parents, the timeline is not super tricky or convoluted or complicated, but my parents divorced, like separated. They were high school sweethearts. And I always had like that idea of marriage and monogamy on a pedestal. Yes. Like, I always imagined my parents being together. And so when they separated and told us that they were splitting up, it was like my world just completely disintegrated. Ugh. And I think my reaction was, okay, well, I guess I can sort of build my own family, and with maybe an unlikely partner, and I can show this person who is estranged from their family, who doesn't understand what it means to celebrate holidays and feel that sort of closeness and connection. Like I can bring all of that into their world. I can serve a purpose. I know how to do that. And I think before long, I realized like I was in an entirely just insufferable situation. And I allowed myself to be in a relationship where I really prioritized that person and their needs and everything before mine. And I think I found myself in this cycle of finding myself in relationships even previous to that, of being with people where I felt that I had to be small and not take up space in order to make them more comfortable, in order to accommodate them.
A wallflower.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. I've been in a relationship like that.
Oh, yeah. Because it just like, you're like, oh, I can do this. I'm quite good at this. And I can also just be there to be of service to this other person. And I've been so incredibly fortunate and lucky and all these other aspects of my life that this, I probably deserve this little tiny corner, this little
nook.
So I think once I realized that ultimately this marriage and this relationship was not only like unproductive and just never going to give me what I deserved and what I needed, I managed to extricate myself and find my way out of the darkness and back into the light. And it coincided at a time where, you know, I powered down my life for a couple years in order to like be in this relationship and be with this person, because work was just not going to be an option. I could not work and be in this relationship. So
no, because your wings are clipped.
Completely.
Yeah, I know the feeling.
Yeah. And so once I managed to sort of to come to this realization that I wanted more out of life, and I was so deeply, deeply unhappy, and it was unhealthy in every, you know, way, I months later, like not too shortly thereafter, like a job that changed my world with This Is Us just sort of like came. It didn't land in my lap. I auditioned for it and did all of that sort of stuff. But it just, to me, it was no coincidence that once I chose myself, I was focused on making choices for me and prioritizing myself and focusing on myself and my health and wellness and in a way that I hadn't in years and years, that this job that I really, what I really wanted all along was, you know, to have love and partnership along with the professional side of my life, sort of all of that percolating at the same time. And kind of somewhere in the middle of all of that, I managed to meet my husband at a very delicate, vulnerable time when I was in the midst of you know, getting divorced. And it didn't dissuade Taylor, my husband, from pursuing a relationship. And I just knew, I was like, wow, if this person can withstand the massive amount of energy coming at both of us from a really dark force, and he's not dissuaded by that. He's not bothered by it. He's able to sort of withstand it and say like, it's okay. We got this together. Like that'll be over soon. I knew, I was like, oh, this is where I should be investing my time and energy and love. And I was right. It was like, it was so immediate. It was so, it was everything that I had ever hoped for, like partnership in the truest sense of the word. And I knew, I was like, oh, this is my person. This is the person I'm going to have a family with. Cause I always wanted to have a family. And, I don't know. I don't know what I did to like earn this or deserve this, like this person in my life, but wow, I really, really lucked out in every sense of the word.
Wow. I always go back to the breakdown to breakthrough. As you were talking about that, I was immediately back in my own experience, in my own emotionally abusive relationship. And I was like, once I was like, hang on a second, like, I'm not even cultivating any love for myself. This is all about this other person and meeting their needs and making sure that I just was always on eggshells in that relationship. And once I like cleared that, it cracked open my life in the most incredible way. And hearing you say this, I just am thinking about all the other people listening. And it's hard. Like, I think unraveling from a relationship like that and a dynamic like that, it's really scary. And hearing you say that you managed to pull yourself out of it, I like think that taking that first step is so brave. And is there anything that you would say to anyone listening who finds themselves in something dysfunctional? Like, how do you do that? How do you take that first step?
It takes time to get there. I mean, you sort of have to find that breaking point where you realize like, oh, it was a cumulative effect of instances and observations and moments that made me just sort of almost snap out of it and go like, what am I doing? I would never, like if I heard a friend going through this, I would never ever allow that. I would step in. I would advocate for them. Why can't I advocate for myself here? Like it, I think I also just, I'm a romantic and I'm a realist. And I sort of, my idea of marriage was like through thick and thin, in sickness and in health. Yes. And like the natural ebb and flow of relationships. Like sometimes there are chapters and seasons where someone is working really hard and they're going through a moment and you just have to sort of like buckle up and be by their side and weather it together. And maybe that's what this is. And after years and years and years of just like the focus being on one person and in one direction, I was like, oh, this is never changing. This is, this is clinical. Like this is, and this has nothing to do with me. I was the perfect victim. I was the perfect person to sort of like, get swept into this.
Yes. You're like the nurturer. Like,
yeah, totally. It was like, yes, I was too. So unsuspecting. I never, you know, I was the
like rainbows
prey.
And butterflies and like, oh my God, I'll just help.
Completely. Yes.
Me too.
And I'll keep saying yes and I'll keep showing up and I'm going to get through this and work.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I think like for some folks, there may be that one aha light bulb moment. For other people, it may be a cumulative like effect mm-hmm. that adds up that helps you to realize like this is unsustainable, which yes. I think it was sort of a combination of both for me. But it's like once that's in your brain, once you realize like, oh, there is no going back, it's easy to sort of find some momentum forward. It doesn't mean that there aren't going to be setbacks and there aren't going to be moments where you're like, am I doing the right thing? Or how am I going to weather this? What comes next? Like all of that definitely factors in. But ultimately choosing yourself is like, you will never, ever go wrong, ever.
Oh, that's so beautiful.
We were just interviewing someone, Taylor Page, who's like an angel intuitive. And she talked about how intuition is in the present. And like listening to you, I'm thinking about like how our instincts and our intuition, like our body tells us, it gives us these like little signals and signs. And there's all these moments when we like start to feel, you know, I was in a relationship before Eric and I went through a divorce as well. And I was so young. And like, you know, it was still really difficult even at that age. But I mean, your body starts to speak to you and it's telling you like, no, this doesn't feel good. And you push those things down and you push them away and you're like, no, I'm fine. And everything's fine. And I can take care of this person. And I can, you know, be this amazing wife. And look at how good I'm cooking. And like, look at how I'm doing this. And like, it's not, it's not that person. It's me. Yeah. I'm so good at errands and I will be your secretary and let me fix your calendar.
I'm an amazing chef.
Yes, all the things. But even to this day, you know, even on the fourth floor here, I'm learning constantly, like how to listen. And when my body says to me, like, no, this doesn't, not in relationship, but even in friendships, like, you know, like, no, this doesn't feel good. This is not okay. You need to listen to these feelings that your body that feels like yucky inside and say, this isn't okay. And like step back and go, wait, I'm here. I'm in the present. My body says no. And I need to advocate for myself. And it's something that I feel like even to this day, I'm learning, but I'm really trying to like show and teach my kids because I think that is
something I never, I always just wanted to be good and nice and kind and show up for people. And like myself was always last. And that's what I'm hearing in your story is like, you're putting yourself last and last, and then you put yourself first, and then freaking the whole world.
It was
as if you
it's as if
you manifested it all. I remember watching this, like, you know, because Eric and I, like, of course, throughout the years, like, have kept up with you. And I remember watching this thing unfold where it was like, you know, and we have some friends in common. And I saw, like, oh, you know, you, that partnership went away. And then, like, you got this, like, you know, amazing new partner who I knew was a good human because of a friend that we had in common. So I was like, yes, oh, this is going to be so great. And then you, like, have this baby. And this, it's as if, you know, all of your dreams were there. And you're like, that's what I want. And then it just started happening. It was so beautiful watching it all come together. And then I wanted to say, you then got pregnant very soon after your first.
Yes.
With your second, right? They're like 18 months or 19 months apart?
They're 20 months apart.
Oh my gosh. Tell us about that. Tell us about that magical shocker.
Oh my gosh. You guys are so sweet. But let me just say, I that's very kind of you. I don't begrudge the past, and I'm sure you guys feel the same way.
Agreed.
It's like I'm able to take all of that collective information. It all lives in me. It's all part of me. It's made me a better, stronger, more resilient human. Mm-hmm. I'm able to filter through it and use it in writing, whether it's music, use it in on the acting side of things. So I'm grateful for that life experience and what it brought me and where it brought me. But yes, to speak to the baby stuff of it all, we tried for like a year to get pregnant with our first, and I truly think it's that I didn't know how to track my ovulation.
Yeah, it's hard. It can be tricky.
I hear you.
Sarah's like, I know exactly what's going on.
We're not taught this in school. My mom never had this conversation with me. I never had a good enough doctor or close enough relationship with like my OB to ever have these sorts of conversations. So I was just like winging it. And we weren't getting pregnant. And so like at the beginning of COVID, I went and got, I went to a fertility specialist and she did a uterine x-ray. And she's like, oh yeah, you have this like crazy cartilage on top of your uterus until you get surgery. You're not going to be able to get pregnant because that's where implantation occurs. And so you have like such a low percentage, a probability of getting pregnant and staying pregnant. But you are ovulating tomorrow. So if you want to go home and have sex tonight and maybe like the day after, but don't count on anything. And then we'll figure out like scheduling your surgery. And I was like, I was just grateful to have a plan and to know like what was going on with my body. And of course we got pregnant.
You got pregnant.
Oh my God. I love those stories. I love it.
And so then when I was, when we inevitably were like, we definitely want to do this again. It took us a while. So maybe we should start. And I went to another fertility specialist because I was like, maybe I should have a second opinion. This woman said I needed surgery. Do I still need surgery?
Yeah.
And the doctor was like, no, there's nothing wrong with your uterus.
What?
Healthy baby, like full term. I'm not quite sure what the other doctor was on about, but you're good.
Oh,
you're good to go.
God.
But if you have any trouble getting pregnant, come back and we'll, you know, we can help you out. And I was like, great, good to know. And of course, like the first time I got pregnant with Ozzy. So we were, it was a very welcome surprise, but yes, it was unexpected that it happened so quickly. And Ozzy was, or Gus was 10 months old. So they're 20 months apart, but it's the best. Like two boys, they're just getting to that age. Gus is now 3 and Ozzy's 16 months. They're just like, they're playing. So delicious, and they're playing with each other. And of course, like, you know, clocking each other in the head with toys, but then they're so tender too with one another. And it's just like, it's truly the greatest thing in the whole world. And again, if I were younger, I would have like 50 more.
Oh my goodness. I am seeing my little boys grow up together, the two of them. They are the best of friends. They sleep in the same bed every single night, spoon each other, hold each other's hands, like my little dudes. And then I had two little girls together and their relationship's the same. I'm like, this is dreamy. Like it's just the sweetest thing. I'm so happy for you.
How far apart are your kids, like age-wise? Like what, for all, for both of you guys?
So my first two are 2 years, 9 months apart. Then my next two are 2 years, 4 months apart. And then my next two are 2 years, 4 months apart.
You really timed that out perfectly.
I did. That's like my sweet spot. Although if I have another one, I know that the age gap's going to be bigger, but I'm okay with that. I'm accepting that.
Yeah. Yeah.
I love it.
Mine are 3 years apart. My oldest is 10, and then I have a 7-year-old, and then the next are 4 years apart. And then I really want to have another one. And so at this point, they would be 4 years apart. So we'll see what happens.
When you talk
about tracking your ovulation, I'm like, I've been going through this too. Cause you know, I had a pregnancy loss back in, I think when I saw you, I was pregnant when we were at that dinner. I had a pregnancy loss like on Thanksgiving Day. And then like I've tried a few times since, and it's so funny because I'll tell Teresa like, well, I started tracking my ovulation like cycle day, whatever. And she's like, what? That's too late. Like you need to start earlier. And I'm like, oh, okay. Even after so three babies, mom, I still don't know how to do it. Yeah. And then I start earlier and then I'm like, but wait, it was confusing because then my ovulation and my like, you know, cervical mucus and my temperatures all off, like all the day, all the, everything was off. And I was like, this isn't working. And, like, I don't know what I'm doing. I do not trust the mucus. I don't know how to track it. That's what I was doing. I was trusting the mucus and it steered me wrong.
No, see? I got pregnant when I was trying not to get pregnant with Prairie because I was like, oh, my mucus is fine. It's just creamy. So I'm not going to get pregnant. And then I got pregnant with Prairie, which of course I was like, oh my God, amazing. Like obviously I was meant to have her at that time, but I was like, the mucus thing in my, it doesn't work. Yeah. I don't follow it. The one that's really on point is the basal body temperature where you've got to like put the thermometer up there before you even get out of bed. Immediately, before you even get out of bed. Like the moment you open your eyes, you quickly track it and you write your temperature. So they say that's the most accurate.
Got it. My Aura ring does this temperature thing. But sometimes I forget to charge it.
I mean, guys, it's a
hot mess over here. I'm trying. Somebody from our community was writing me last night and was like telling me that I'm having a hard time. I had a whole conversation with her about it.
I was like, Sarah, I love you so much.
I was like, okay, we have to have this like fertility conversation on the podcast because it was just like so... I so felt where she was at. And so when you said that, I was sitting here going like, yeah, me too. Even after three kids, I still don't know how to track my ovulation. Well, I was also wanted to ask you, Mandy, like what, you know, you went from one to two and pretty close together. You were on tour. I was listening to this episode that you did with Chelsea Handler, and you're talking about being on tour while being pregnant on a tour bus. Like that sounds banana. I spent like 2 weeks in an Airstream when I was 8 months pregnant, and I was like, my body is killing me. Like, how did you do a tour bus and a toddler?
I didn't. It was a really... crazy, clearly like pregnancy adult brain that was like, that sounds totally doable. I think because I was pregnant until like 2 weeks before I gave birth, I worked with Gus on This Is Us, which is wildly different doing an ensemble television show where you still get to go home at night and sleep in your own bed. It was like completely different than the idea of being on a tour bus with a 15-month-old. It was, being on tour only lasted for a couple weeks until I realized, like, my body is exhausted. I'm not sleeping well, and I don't want to compromise the baby's health. So I think I need to call it, which was a really, really hard decision because I was so anxious to get on the road and so excited to perform. And COVID had, you know, canceled the last tour. And so I was dying to get out on the road. But the baby's health took precedence. So hopefully one day we'll find ourselves on the road again. But the idea of like trying to, it wasn't the singing for 2 hours every night. That was easy. It was like everything in between, like sleeping until the tour bus got to the next city, which was usually like 4 or 5 in the morning. And then Gus would wake up at 6 So you're just like, I'm getting no sleep, and you're up with a toddler. And
then you have to be on, like you're meeting people, and you're like,
okay, where can we find like a bagel for him? And he's having oatmeal on the bus. And like, yeah, you're flying by the seat of your pants in a way that was not conducive. If I didn't have if I wasn't pregnant, it was totally doable. But yeah, it was a real challenge. I didn't think that one through.
I have such a random question for you, because in like another life, my dream would have been to like, I have the worst singing voice, unfortunately, but
Stop it.
Would be like performing on stage in front of so many people. Like, what does that actually feel like? Like going out, like let's say you're at Coachella or you're performing. Like, what does it feel like? Is it just so electric, like hearing the crowd? And do you ever get nervous still? Or because you've been doing it for so long, you just kind of go out there and you find the flow? I feel like I would have a little bit of stage fright at the start. I just want to hear your experience. Like, what is it really like?
Oh my gosh. Well, I don't know what it's like to be Taylor Swift. Like, keep in mind, like, I am one millionth of that. But
you're Taylor Swift in our eyes, Mandy. Okay.
Oh gosh. No, I mean, but just like that, when I look at her and what she's doing, and like, you guys can, it's like, you could be a fan or not. You have to appreciate the immense joy that someone like that brings so many people around the world. So I marvel at that.
Millions.
The power that wields, like what she must feel on a nightly basis of like, I have 100,000 people and I'm just like, I'm making their lives better like at this moment.
The must just best be night of everyone's lives.
Totally. Yeah. Like, that must be incredible. On my own tiny little corner of the world where 1,000 people are coming to see me play a show, it's like the power of being on stage and like the idea that anybody would know any of the music or would pay money or want to spend their evening with me in that regard is like, it is humbling. It is like, it's a wild feeling. Like, it's something I'll never get over. And also the stage fright is something I'll never get over. But I've kind of come to terms with the fact that, I don't know, it's like, if I weren't nervous, then maybe the stakes aren't high enough. Like, it doesn't mean enough to me. Like, I try to kind of look at it from a different angle, and instead of being nervous, I'm like, I'm just excited. I just feel that adrenaline because it's important. I want to do my best possible job. Like, I don't know. But yeah, I 100%. I'm always nervous every time I go out on stage.
One on that is, how does it feel to go on stage and sing with the love of your life?
Oh, I'm so spoiled now. I'm like, I can't do this any other way. Poor Taylor. Like, he has his own band and his own career. And I'm like, I don't want to make music ever again unless it's with you. Like, he is my most favorite person.
Oh,
I think he's the most incredibly talented person I've ever known. And the most prolific writer. He's my favorite songwriter and musician. So like, the fact that I get to share a roof with him and get to be creative with him and I get to watch him do his thing, like, it's so endlessly inspiring. He's just the best possible person in every way. And yeah, to be able to connect musically and to be able to share that, like, that common thread together and I'm never not grateful, and I never don't feel incredibly lucky for it. Like, it's not lost on me. I'm like, you could make music with anybody and play with anybody. And the fact that you want to come and play music with your silly wife is like, means a lot.
No way. No, you're like amazing. I mean, that is,
I love it. I love working with my husband too. I love it.
My husband and I met on a show. Yeah, I get that.
We're all very lucky in that sense.
Yeah. Speaking of your husband, Sarah, I feel like this is the perfect time to bring him in.
He definitely should show up now, but he hasn't walked in here yet. I bet he's still on his call.
Yell out to him. Get him to
come. I'm actually going to text him right now. But I wanted to say, the first time I ever heard one of his songs was because the Knee Brothers were directing his video for that song that it's like, when my time comes, that song, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so that one. And still to this day, we play that song in the car for the kids because it's so good. His voice is unbelievable. And his band is incredible. From that moment on, I was like, oh, this band is so great. But it was because of the Knee Brothers, because of Adam.
The Knees.
They're so awesome. Those boys.
Oh, no, oh my gosh. Adam married us.
I know. I was like, what? He's the funniest guy in the world.
One of the funniest. Ugh. Like, I keep wanting to set him up with so many people. I'm like, I've got another friend for you. Well, maybe there's another person I know. Like,
who is good enough for Adam? That's in my mind. I'm like, I have some friends, but like, I mean, that's a real special. Tall order. He's so special. My favorite
thing really
is
good
that
with kids. He's amazing.
He's got to be a father. He has to be a father because he's going to be the world's greatest.
He's one of a million children anyway. Has so many nieces siblings. And nephews and siblings. Oh my gosh, he's like got so many in that family. They're the best. They're like the sweetest
humans.
Well,
I'm glad to know that like he's got lots of good ladies out there looking.
Always trying to set him up. Like, yes. I'm always like, who's good enough for this man? Because he is a magical creature. Aww. Anyway, well, you are amazing. Thank you so much for coming on, for doing our show.
Thank you.
For sharing, such a beautiful, vulnerable, wonderful experience. I mean, it was, I think, one of our dreams was to have you on. So, when we first started this podcast, so it was just like really cool that, it finally came through. Teresa manifested it.
I was I love good people and I really love successful good people like you who you have all these amazing things, you're living this dream life, but you're just so inherently wonderful as a person. Oh, and gosh, that really speaks to me. I want more of those people in our life. I was like, my God, yes, go represent. Like you're living all your dreams, but you're such a beautiful person. So,
thank you, ladies, for what you do. Thank you for bringing us all together in community, because motherhood and parenthood can feel so daunting and isolating, and just being able to have candid conversations like you guys do on a weekly basis is so affirming for so many people. It's so helpful. And just, makes you feel like, okay, I'm not an anomaly. I'm not alone.
Yes.
It goes so far. It's so appreciated. Oh, so thank you for
thank
what you,
you
do.
Mutual appreciation.
Yes. Thank you. Across the board. And I know that our daisies are going to love this episode. So thank you so much for being here today. And
thank you.
And also, there's no way that you're allowed to say anything about what you're teasing on your Instagram, right? Like there's something that you guys all keep teasing. Hashtag that was us.
At this point, it'll all be out there, but we're going to do a rewatch podcast of the show.
Oh
yeah,
God.
Sterling and Chris and I. Yeah.
Oh, I mean, my God. So great.
It'll be fun. I'm so excited to get back together with those dudes and be able to relive those moments together and walk through the show with everybody. So yeah, that'll be a fun
thing. So it lives on. The show lives on.
It lives on. Yes.
So everybody, make sure you go listen to this new podcast. That is it going to be called That Was Us?
That Was Us. Yeah.
That was Us. It's going to be such a smash podcast. So major. So excited for you.
Thank you.
That's so awesome. Well, thank you for being here today. You guys can find us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We love you, Mandy. We love you, Daisy.
Love you, guys.
Love you, Daisy.
Bye.